native tree seedlings are planted across Canada, creating a widespread impact. Planted trees provide habitat, prevent soil erosion, and reforest areas that have suffered tree loss due to pests and weather. Tree Canada performs 1, 2, and 5-year assessments to monitor tree survival and ensure the trees planted are on track to meet the forest cover goals of the site. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
5MTL, Montreal's 5th annual art book fair and festival celebrating art and the book, bringing together the best talents from across North America and beyond. More than 50 publishers and artists will be on hand for the fair on October 1st and 2nd from 11 to 6. Free admission at the SAT 1201 Saint-Laurent. Check out the full program at volumemtl.art, featuring invited guests from the Detroit Art Book Fair, C Magazine, Le Sai, Wendy's Subway, Art Metropole, Peripheral Review, and much more. And don't miss the closing event, the launch of Flint Magazine with performances at Le Système on Sunday, October 2nd. That's Volume 5 MTL, volumemtl.art, a CKUT co-presentation.
Good evening and welcome to the September 29th edition of Droma Text. And on the show, we're going to present a CD by Ben Patterson, titled Ben Patterson Tells Flux's Stories from 1962 to 2002. It's put out on Question Mark Records. And we'll also hear a little bit of John Trudell, Ivy, and Nick Tonches. So here it is. We'll start with Ben Patterson Tells Flux's Stories.
So we're talking about Fluxus, we're talking about a kind of early 60s art movement, and one of the questions probably that many people ask you, why Fluxus? What's the name from, and what's the basic idea of Fluxus? What kind of movement is it?
The name Fluxus is really unimportant. It could have been almost any other name, except that in Lithuanian, which is the native speech of George Mičiūnas, apparently Fluxus means liberty, freedom, and so forth. Dictionary meanings give Fluxus a Latin origin, meaning flowing. Why Fluxus? What happened at that point in the late 50s, early 60s, was that a number of artists in Germany, in England, in France, in Italy, USA, Japan, Korea, all were dissatisfied with the status quo and began to look at other ways of making art, other means of perceiving reality. And quite independent of each other, they more or less, you could say, general spirit developed among these people. How it became Fluxus is that there was this Lithuanian artist, architect, born in the the Lenya move through Wiesbaden to USA, back to Wiesbaden, began to collect information about all of these people and decided we have to make a big deal about this. And so his interest was to make a magazine called Fluxus, which should present all of the newest arts. And then the idea to promote this magazine, there would be a festival of performing arts, newest arts in Wiesbaden. That was really like a fashion show. The museum of Wiesbaden. And so the original idea for the festival was as a promotional for the magazine. As we know, in the meantime, the magazine, there were one or two issues that happened, but what came out of the festival and the, the scandal, the notoriety, the development, and also the focus on a particular kind of work made Fluxus what Fluxus has become. I say focus on a particular kind of work because in the original program there was Stockhaus, Nono, Berio, Boulez, Pierre Schaeffer, these people, dance, ballet, and so forth, new stuff. But there was this one little corner where people dripped water from a ladder into a bucket or banged on the piano 566 times or tore up paper. And the critics didn't understand what the name of this thing was. They knew what Boulez and Nono and Stockhausen was. That was serial music. And here was Pierre Schaeffer with concrete, musique concrète. But what's this strange stuff here? That has to be Fluxus. Even though nobody knew before that that was going to be Fluxus.
Yeah.
Fluxus was just a title like Time Magazine or Life Magazine. And that's part of the problem of defining what Fluxus is, because it's like Life Magazine, you know, or Spiegel.
Just a name.
Yeah, it's a name.
Okay. So we know, we heard about the name Fluxus, but there was something where you were talking about, the corner where the strange things happened. What was the impetus or what was the idea, maybe the connecting idea between those people who then were termed Fluxus? What was common?
I think one of the most important common aspects were that many of these artists were trained musicians, and so their sense of art and development came from music. One other aspect which is important in terms of music is that there was a great protest, let's say, against the materialism of the art market and buying and selling and so forth was not what we, as young idealists who wanted to change the world, thought was the purpose of art, and that was to change the way people think or to open their thinking. And the buying and selling of works of art didn't fit that pattern. And you can only buy and sell something which has material physical presence. So an important aspect of Fluxus was that early Fluxus, let's say, was that the manifestation of the art should be immaterial. So that's why it became music or performance or events or, quote, happenings were a bit suspicious, but events were clear there, so that it was something that you experience, and that was it. You couldn't take it away. So I think that was one of the common factors which why somebody in Korea or Japan or in New York or in Moscow, for instance, all had this idea in their head or this feeling at that period, I don't know. It was, you know, all of the things that were at the late 50s, pre-60s. Yeah,
That sounds a little bit like, now talking about the immaterial aspect of Fluxus art, I wonder if also maybe the immediate contact with an audience is intended and an important element of the work.
Okay, as I suggested before, many of us came from a music background, and as performing musicians, you recognize as when you have a live audience, when you have a dead audience, when you have a so what audience. As a performer, you react to that. Apparently, you're just, you know, doing your thing, but you sense what the audience is hearing, feeling, and whether they're supporting you or uninterested or whatever. That's, you know, whether you're playing Beethoven or George Brecht. And the same thing happens here. Obviously, the the idea was that the work should communicate. was not just for oneself. We want other people, wanted other people to know, to hear, to understand, to be provoked, to be changed, or whatever. You know.
Yeah, it's another word that I was thinking about. Provocation, rebellion, something that has a maybe even aggressive element in it, something that is strong enough to wake people up. Was it something?
Yeah, as I said, we were all young idealists and we wanted to change the world. So, obviously provocation in one form or another was part of what we were doing, but I think it was not provocation for provocation's sake. One recognized that. Okay, if you announce this is a quintet for paper, and you start tearing up paper and throwing it into the audience, they're going to be surprised. But on the other hand, my initial interest in making this piece was the sound of paper, which is a extraordinarily variable instrument. On one side, theoretically, it was hard and consequent. On the other side, you recognize, well, that's going to surprise them. So what?
It's a nice demonstration, even right there, even for the microphone, I think. That works well. I was reading about this piano action piece, and maybe
by Philip Korner.
Maybe I had that in mind as I.
That's another aspect of the same thing. Philip had designed this work to extract other sounds from a piano that one normally experiences. In any case, so the idea was...
This piece has a violent surface, I could almost say.
On the surface, it's, in 1962, it was violent, because the piano was the instrument that every German family of standing had in their house, right? House music. Holy. And suddenly this piano was not only scratched, but it's banged on and hammered and sawed up and crushed and blah, blah, blah. Which was in the extreme that it was performed in Wiesbaden was not the original ambition of Philip Korner. He said later, I didn't intend for it to go so far, but okay. And of course that is the scandal that opened the media's eyes to this is something new. And actually, the sounds that erupted from this action were not much different than what they were doing in the electronic music studio or Music Concrete, but the fact that it was being done on this holy instrument, even though it was a junk piano, which I think George paid 5 marks for or something, it cost more to get rid of it than they had to pay for it. But the symbolism, of course, was what struck the note and opened the eye. So.
Yeah. For the audience there, but also for the media, picking up on that thing that you just mentioned, did you have a problem with the way the media reacted? Or first of all, how did media, newspaper, TV, and whatever it was there, how did they react, and how was your reaction to their reaction?
Actually, the media was not so bad with that. This little film, on a short film, the cameraman or the editor decided he had to do Fluxus also, so sometimes... it gets turned on its head and so forth like that. But they kind of accepted it. The press, if I remember, a scandal, blah, blah, blah. But those were very interesting times then, 60, 61, 62. Everything was shaking. And so... they were prepared mentally to accept change. Now it's the time to look at something else. As far as our reaction to the press, what? Who cares? Nobody expected to be applauded. You do what you have to do. The press was the secondary.
But coming back to the first question of how the name came about and how the publicity came, even if it didn't change your work, maybe, but it the press did make a name for Fluxus, so maybe by that scandalous thing for the media, more and more people knew about it. So was there an influence coming from that event and from the press publication?
It's a long story. I'm sorry I'm taking so much time to answer this. But, okay. In the beginning, there was not Fluxus. There was Emmett Williams, there was Ben Patterson, there was George Brecht, there were all of these people, Io, Kusugi, doing these things. Then happened this festival, Fluxus. Ah! You know, it's like surrealism or pop art or something is there. And these artists are all part of that. Then what is the Fluxus aesthetic? You know, there, I can show you that many catalogs and books, and people are still trying to nail it down, and it can't be, you know. There's a sort of joint spirit or friendship and general understanding of how you go about making art, but in terms of we only use red or only straight lines, cubism or pop figures, that doesn't exist. So then, what is Fluxus became a big problem for so-called second generation. Am I a Fluxus artist or not? I am a Fluxus artist because I do this, or I am a Fluxus artist because I do that. You know? And so, in that sense, the press and the media did influence the work of some people, I would say, over some period. I think it would have been, it would be dishonest to say that one was not aware that I am a Fluxus artist and my work should look Fluxian. If you understand what I mean. If you decide to make landscape paintings, then we have to redefine Fluxus to have landscape paintings, which I have done also.
In a way, we talked about this earlier, the impetus of Fluxus, the waking up people, the provocative element, the new perspective on this perceived thing, which is about misogyny, but also, but then in society, all these things came, you already said, the 60s, the early 60s were very intense times, and the late 60s. Also, so
the explosion happened.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, do you see a connection in some way?
Well, it, let's say that in 1960, 61, 62, I filled the teacup, or we filled the teacup, and then we turned the stove on, and it took until 68 for it to boil. In so many words, if you understand that. Okay, I won't say that artists created the revolution, but the myth has been that artists perceive or have a sense of the smell of brewing events. Unruhe auf Deutsch, Unrest, that something is changing. And I think that was the point that we were at in the 60s. Okay, not only Fluxus, but also everything else that was happening. Nouveau Realist in Paris, the Zero Group here in Germany, and so forth. So I think we went further, but everybody was looking for or sensing now there's something new. And that it, from this moment of sensing that something's going to change until, let's say, 67, 68. So I get on my bad wagon now. Fluxus was, one, the first truly international art movement spanning from South East Asia, Northeast Asia, through the United States, through all of Western Europe and so forth, and also one of the first movements where women's rights were up there. one could also say, yeah, I'm black, the first time that a man of color was an important cultural figure, even in Germany. That, and then the other aspect, what I think is interesting about Fluxus is that now, this is 2002, and people really want to celebrate 40 years of Fluxus. Yeah. It's never happened before. Who's celebrating 40 years of Nouveau Realism? Or who's celebrating 40 years of Surrealism? Or even Dada, not only the retrospective things, but to put it on the shelf. We're doing this now. I mean, there's just the big festival of Tivoli now. There's this thing, there's like X number of things in France, in Spain, in USA. Somehow or other, that's a, you know, it's evidence of the importance of Fluxus that people are, not only just us that are, the few that are still alive, but other people are pushing to do it.
For a German audience, it would be interesting to understand, first of all, the international aspect, but then how come it's a German thing? It's so it's important to pin it down to Germany in Wiesbaden, really.
Yeah, that's...
Is it just by accident?
I mean, in a way, it was accidental that it was Wiesbaden. In another way, because, I would say, the philosophical input of Fluxus, there are not many places that it could have happened other than Germany, or maybe France, or maybe England. But you have to remember that point in the 60s, there was also Wittgenstein was being recognized really as an important philosopher for the first time. And if you considered yourself a thinking person, you had to have read Hegel and Kant and Nietzsche and Wittgenstein and da-da-da, which doesn't happen anymore, you know. And okay, so I mean, Heidegger, Adorno was, Walter Benjamin, no television. That's what we went to bed with. What else can you do?
Yeah, I mean, the rebellion, it's just sort of a, I don't know what to say, it's like a hate love kind of thing. I mean, about you, this picture, you take in that input from philosophy and high culture in a way.
Yeah.
But then the language you speak is not at all academic.
It's a different language, yeah. Okay, let's put it this way. Okay, I have this classic music background. I still love Beethoven, I still love Bach, I still love Brahms. You look at my record collection and there's very... I hope I don't have any stock up. But it's, you know, everything else, Ravel and Ibanez. They're there because they were great musicians. They were good composers. The problem that I had with how they were perceived or how they were presented in a concert hall had nothing more to do with the music or what they were trying to do. It was much more about society, who's sitting in the first row, how wavy is the hair of the conductor, does he wiggle his rear end well, you know, and all of these marketing things, and really had nothing to do with the music. So in a sense, that was part of, okay, my three operas, Madame Butterfly, Carmen, Tristan, and Isolde, all three in 1 hour. some people think of it as a persiflage, but it's not really that. It's a tribute to them, but reduced and pointed in a different direction so that, that's what it was about. It's not about how much you paid for your ticket, you know, for if you are in the royal box or blah, blah, blah.
Now that makes me, not meaning to interrupt you, but that makes me think of the specific German situation, early 60s, that is... the time after the war was just over, you could begin to feel, okay, the immediate after-war period is over, but still it wasn't really over. So people still had the feeling of, let's get away from that, and they were hungry for art, but also to cover maybe things up. Let me just get this historical question. Do you feel that in Fluxus there is also a comment on how people dealt with the war period and the after-war period? So, I don't know if that's a very good question.
I'll try to answer that, but first just make the comment that I arrived in Cologne in 1960 and lived in Kupfergasse, which is now, then was sort of like over there, and Vede Air was here. Now Vede Air covers the whole thing. But at that point, between Kupfergasse and the radio station, was still Trümmerfeld. There were one or two houses, but it was still Trümmerfeld, you know, bricks and so forth, not built at all. And of course, Vede Air was brand new building, most modern electronic music studio in the world at that time. But between here and there was clear evidence of what had happened. you couldn't forget that, you know. You couldn't ignore it. Back to your question. Did Fluxus react to how people reacted to this?
Itself and not the surface of the clothing, how much people took it on the flight, maybe, or how you perceive people are fleeing into surface, superficial things.
No, I think or at least my answer to that question is that Cologne really was the center of new art at that point. Fluxus happened here in Wiesbaden. Purely accidental, but the new music was there, the artists and so forth, and so there, I think one could say that there was a sense, now's time to rebuild something new. We know what happened then, flat, we're starting again. And that was why Adorno, blah, 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 the music, the electronic music studio, all of that was important at that point. And people coagulated around that. Here is where the stew is being made. Curiously, not Paris, because it was Paris was Paris, it's Paris is Paris. Cologne was flat, and now we're starting again.
Maybe I was also thinking about another link to Butschke that we talked about earlier, because I think historians would say that one major impetus of the was differently maybe than explained about the US situation. It was also that the generation clash was a thing in Germany where you could not identify with that generation. It had been in the war and in the 50s it was sort of
two different situations, I think. In the US there was the generation gap was not the problem. It was first the racial thing. And then the women's movement, which made the two big changes, I think. But I think I understand what you mean about the generational gap here, because those that were Adolf generation, nobody could understand how you could believe this man, how you could go through that. I mean, the younger generation, and I know there was huge splits in families because of that.
But I did understand that in the immediate Fluxus work, what you did and your colleagues and friends did there was not really meant politically as an explicit comment to that. It was just sort of in the atmosphere a little bit.
This is the Fluxus problem. There's German Fluxus, there's French Fluxus, there's American Fluxus, there's Japanese Fluxus. more specifically, there is Vostell and Beuys Fluxus, although Beuys was in and out quickly. Vostell carried the label for a long time. His work was purposefully political, exaggerated political, in my view. But Beuys was political in another sense, in a more general sense. Beyond that, in the U.S., let's say the American Fluxus, only one or two, three, maybe four people in the early days. Well, actually more, come to think of it. 62, 65 through 68, whatever. If you weren't left, you weren't Fluxus. You know, I mean, there was no place else to be other than left liberal. You know. You had to be concerned with human rights, with women's rights. You had to be against the Vietnam War, all of those things. And that oftentimes made you very close to the red side of the label, right? Which I don't think too many people worried about. That, you know. Not everybody, but people that work with language, of course.
So now in 2002, it's 40 years after the main event, which was this festival.
Yeah.
But so Fluxus is remembered, Fluxus is regarded as important, but is there still Fluxus art life in the present?
My answer would be that as long as myself and Emmett Williams and George Brecht and Alice Knowles and Eric Anderson are still alive, we're going to make our art, and that will be called Fluxus art. that's the way it goes. I was just looking, I can see it here, but one of my nicer projects that I have initiated and continue in the last few years, I think it's maybe 5 years old now, is the Museum for the Subconscious, which is located everywhere, nowhere, of course. But since people like to have physical thing, the entrance to the museum is a cave in a mountain in the middle of the desert in Namibia. And there is a plaque. Odenwald Rote Sandstein says, Museum of the Subconscious founded, blah, blah, blah. Mounted in the side of the mountain. So, is that Fluxus? And we have a catalog. That is, there's a website, right? What else? Can't have paper for a museum of the subconscious, so it's all, again, immaterial. And you can check the website and... no, it's not here. And see who has pledged their subconscious to the museum naturally after they die. Although I've had a couple requests, do I have to wait until I die? Can I give it to you now?
And so you've been listening to Ben Patterson telling some Fluxus stories from a CD entitled Ben Patterson Tells Fluxus Stories from 1962 to 2002, put out on Question Mark Records. Let's hear a little bit of John Trudell now.
Say anymore all there is to it. We went to the emperor's ball. The emperor sang a song about sacrifice. A song about sacrifice. Sacrifice who? Sacrifice what? Sacrifice you? Sacrifice me? The altar of democracy, the altar of democracy, the altar of democracy. Sacrifice who? Sacrifice what? Sacrifice you? Sacrifice me? The altar of democracy, the altar of democracy, the altar of democracy, the altar of democracy. Sacrifice you? Sacrifice me. Sacrifice me. Sacrifice me. Big business decision. Big business decision. Big business decision. Maximizing profit. Maximizing profit. Maximizing profit. Third world labor. Third world labor. Third world labor. It's cheaper that way. It's cheaper that way. It's cheaper that way. It's cheaper that way. Big business decision, big business decision, big business decision. Savings and loan, savings and loan, savings and loan. $1 trillion debt, $1 trillion debt, $1 trillion debt. And there's tax man at the door, tax man at the door, tax man at the door. Telling me I gotta pay, telling me I gotta pay, telling me I gotta pay. And banker man, banker man, banker man. Has the deed to the land, the deed to the land, the deed to the land.
We don't accept what you say. We don't accept what you say. We don't accept. accept what you say. We won't roll over for you. We won't roll over for you. We won't roll over for you. All there is to it. All there is to it. The author of democracy. The author of democracy. Sacrifice who? Sacrifice what? And the thieves got away. 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 The altar, the altar. Sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. The altar, the altar. Behind God, behind God, behind God, behind God, behind God, behind God. Big business, big business, big business, big business. After all these years, the last time I saw you is only a moment away. As always, I reach for your touch, only to find I'm teardrops behind. Falling from a rising star, I chase a changing sun. Sunshine seems so far. In this distance, I have to run. Inside of my head, I dance the dance of sorrow's heart. And little memories are precious jewels, reminding me of where and when laughter wasn't a shadow, and the shadow wasn't this cold. From a rising star, I chase a changing sun. Sunshine seems so far. In this distance, I have to run. The last time I saw you, I loved the wind when she was a woman. A woman went away. Every time this time comes around, some ghost that haunts, or a plague, or a blessing, in this my heart of want. After all these years, and after all these tries, the man I am
as only the remains of reasons and logics I don't understand. Every time I allow my mind to think of or dwell on you, I sure miss you. After all these years, nothing changes that. After all these years, the next time I see you, after all these years, falling from a rising star, I chase a changing sun. Sunshine seems so far in this race I have to run.
So you were listening to John Trudell, two tracks, including All There Is to It, and After All Those Years, put out on a Ryko disc recording entitled Johnny Damas and Me, John Trudell. We'll be back next week with more of the spoken word. Till then, stay safe.
Cinema Politica Concordia is thrilled to invite you to the long-awaited launch of our fall 2022 season. Join us on October 3rd for a special screening of the award-winning film, The Territory, a collaborative and deeply committed film about Indigenous land defenders protecting their traditional territory against encroaching deforestation brought by farmers and illegal settlers. Through dramatic landscapes and Indigenous-filmed witness footage, The Territory highlights the global nature of Indigenous struggle for land and climate justice. On October 3rd, 7 p.m., room H110, Concordia's Hall Building, 1455 de Maisonneuve West. Venue is wheelchair accessible, donations kindly encouraged. CinemaPolitica.org or find us on social media. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
CKUT 90.3 FM. You know you want to.
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is back from September 28th to October 2nd, 2022. 5 days of music and over 200 artists, including teen punk viral sensations, the Linda Lindas, Canada's first drag race winner Priyanka, 70s British funk group Simande, Grammy-nominated and Juno Award winner Alison Russell, iconic dancehall queen Sister Nancy, post-rock legends Tortoise, and many more. The festival also features film screenings, visual art, symposium discussions, and as always, many surprises. Get your tickets and passes now at popmontreal.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
Chope Le Monstone. Chope Le Monstone. Chope Le Monstone. Chope Le Monstone.